Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Erica. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, I'm super excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes. So my name's Erica Quiroz. I am living in Houston, Texas right now. I'm born and raised here. I'm a native Texan, and I just moved back a couple months ago. So I'm a former journalist turned digital marketer. I work in higher education, and I am When Do They Kiss on Instagram. So if you found yourself thinking, when you're reading a romance novel, okay, when do we get to the good part? Like, when do these characters start, like, making out? That is what I'm all about. I want to know when I start reading a book, when do these two start kissing? And when is, you know, when's the drama or, like, the conflict start and everything? So that's the point of the Instagram account. And I really love contemporary steamy romances. So for me, that means that there aren't any fade to black scenes. I am not about a fade to black in a romance. I want to know. I'm part of another group, and somebody described it really great of, I want to be in the room with them. And that is my mindset too. I want to know. I don't want to leave it up to my imagination. You know, to me, that's also a good gauge of, like, of somebody's writing experience as well. So that's my focus for the Instagram account, and that's me.
I'm excited. So now let's check romance recommendations. What is your favorite romance trope?
Well, my favorite number one of all time is Marriage of Convenience. Mm-hmm. That's my number one. Love it. But I love it in a contemporary setting because mm-hmm. it's very common in historical, and it's not as common in contemporary. I think it's a little bit harder to get two people in that era to fear you for X. But it also is along, like, the fake relationship trope. So I really love that too. So if it's Marriage of Convenience or fake relationship, that's my jam. And then also enemies to lovers. I live for the tension. I want people to really have to work for that happily ever after. So I want them to be coming from opposing sides and trying to find common ground and learn about each other and then, you know, kiss and then whatever else they're going to do. So those are my top two favorites. And as I was thinking about just how did I even get into this, you know, my grandma had a lot of Harlequin novels, and I lived with her for a little bit after my grandpa had passed away. And she just had this floor to ceiling bookshelf that was multiple rows deep of Harlequin novels. And so she really loves series or sets of them. And so as I read one, I could just continue reading about the other characters too. And one of them I picked up was A Marriage of Convenience. And I, for whatever reason, I thought about it, I guess a month or so ago. And I was determined to find this book, and I found it and bought it. And it really was the first one that really got me introduced to the genre and reading romance as an adult. When I was in my early 20s, but even thinking over what I read before, reading young adult novels, it always had a hint of romance in there. Of course, it wasn't very descriptive or anything, but they were kind of pulling it through of these two people who, you know, were trying to find common ground, getting together in a YA setting.
So tell me what that Marriage of Convenience book is.
It's called Sweetbriar Summit, and okay. I think the author is Christine Brimmer. I would have to look it up, but it is called Sweetbriar Summit. Found it on Amazon. It's an old school, late 90s Harlequin novel, and it is about this. It's based in a small town, and it's about this man named Patrick Black, who needs a wife because he wants his children to come stay with him permanently. And he has this ex-wife that he's on good terms with, but he's trying to be a better dad. And one of the ways he wants to do that is to get himself a wife who he can show his ex-wife and the rest of the town that he's kind of grown up and he's responsible. And so he picks the town librarian, who's this very mousy woman, and of course she's very virginal. This is very late, early 90s, and so he sets a sight on her, and he pursues her, and end up, she ends up marrying him, and she develops feelings for him, but she's not really sure if he's developing feelings for her. And it's so funny because it's in that small town setting, so everybody knows everything about everybody, and they can't believe that this librarian has tamed this wild man who has had this reputation of kind of just being this man about town. And her name's Regina, and she's very sweet, and she's a good stepmom, and she and Patrick make a really good team. And so what I liked about that was, you know, the misunderstandings, right, of are these two people going to get together, and when are they going to admit that they feel more than like a platonic partnership with each other? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I really look for in contemporary romances too, because it is a contemporary, even though it's of that era. But these two people, they have a common goal. They're willing to work together, and they're going to get that HEA once they confess their feelings to each other.
I love this. Oh my gosh, I got to look for that one.
It's old. It's one of those illustrated covers. So yeah. For whatever reason that popped into my mind, I was like, I need to find this book. And so I did, and it's great. It did not, I will say that reading it as an older adult, I was thinking like, what did I see in this book? Because it has a lot of cliches and, you know, maybe some things that I aren't as common now, but at the time it was very, like, it was my introduction to romance. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm all about this.
That's amazing. So let's talk about recommendations for the trips. What are some of Marriage and Convenience romance recommendation and then enemies to lovers that you have?
Yeah. So Marriage of Convenience, I love The Wall of Winnipeg and Me by Mariana Zapata. She, if you have not read her before, she's a slow burn queen. So you really have to be invested in these characters because it takes a long time for them to kiss. I don't think they kiss until chapter 25. I mean, you're into it. And it's a Marriage of Convenience. And it's Vanessa and Aiden. And Vanessa has $150,000 in student loan debt, and Aiden is her former boss, who's a NFL player. And so she quits in this blaze of glory because he really doesn't appreciate her. And he then comes back begging for her to come back, and then says, if you come back, I'll pay off your student loans. So a lot of Marriage Convenience revolves around money. And it's these two people. Aiden's very stubborn. Vanessa can, you know, defend him, then also kind of put him down in the same breath. And they're both unwilling to admit how they feel about each other. They feel more. And I love that setting. It's usually around money for contemporary, for Marriage of Convenience, but they're really sweet. I really love that book when I think of Marriage of Convenience. And then the other one is Lush Money by Angelina M. Lopez. Mm-hmm. She's a new romance writer, and this one is a gender flip. So normally in Marriage of Convenience, it's the man who has money and he's looking for a wife to help him in some way. But in this one, it's a billionaire woman who wants to have a baby, and she sets her sight on this prince in Spain, and it's very, very steamy. So if you love steam like I do, it's very steamy. I would say Wall of Winnipeg and Me is on the lower steam scale, but Lush Money is very steamy from the get-go. And Roxanne is the billionaire, and she's going to have these appointments with Mateo monthly or several times a month so that he can impregnate her. And Mateo is actually the one that wants more. And so he wants to have a relationship with her. She doesn't want anything to do with him. And he also owns this winery in Spain. And so there's a little bit of royalty with it because he's a prince. So there's all these other tropes as well. And they find their way to each other too. And that's one of my favorites. I love her work. It's so good. Mm-hmm. And then Enemies to Lovers, The Hating Game. I mean, I feel like if you haven't read this by now, what are you waiting for? Because it's so good. And it was one of the books that like reintroduced me to romance after I stopped kind of reading it for a little while. But I love Lucy's character. I love Josh's character. They're co-workers after their publishing houses had merged. And so they play these games with each other, like who can break each other first. And Lucy, I love her inner monologues and the way that she's talking, the way that she describes stuff. And her and Josh, like, they're so opposite of each other, but he has pined for her for so long that once he finally reveals his feelings, it's so good. I love that book. I reread it probably several times a year. It's one of my favorites. And then Asking for Trouble by Tessa Bailey. When I think of true enemies to lovers, like people who really hate each other, it's these two. It's Brett and Hayden. They're so mean to each other. And they have to be around each other because their friends are engaged and about to get married. And they really just cannot stand each other. It's also very steamy. It's also higher on the steam scale. And so they have a let's get this out of our systems kind of night. And then they just can't stop seeing each other and finally admitting their feelings to each other. So those are my four recommendations out of those. I reread those all the time. I love them.
I love this. I have to admit, I really love Blush Money. And if you read Hate Crush, it's fake relationships. So yeah, how many other tropes?
That one has so many tropes. It's fake relationship, enemies to lovers, royalty, second chance romance. I feel like Angelina and Lopez was just like, let's throw them all in there and see what happens. I still loved it, though. I loved it. I loved reading about Sophia, which is Mateo's sister. And I'm excited to read the third book, which comes out next year.
Yes, I know. I just had Stephanie, the publicist, her publicist, talked about her new book, and I was like, I'm dying for it. So yeah, it comes out in February.
Yes, she's so good. And she actually, she lives in Houston, too. She just moved here. So I feel like, not that I'm going out a lot with everything going on, but I feel like there's an increased chance that maybe we could run into each other and I could gush to her in person how much I just love her books.
Yeah, she's amazing. So let's talk about which romance authors are your autobi, which authors we should check out their backlist.
Yeah, one of the first ones is Chloe Lise. She's an independent author, and her books are on Kindle Unlimited. And the first one is, right now she's writing a Bergman Brothers series. So it's about these seven siblings. They're Swedish, and each book focuses on one sibling. And so the second book has already come out, but the first one is Only When It's Us, and it's my favorite. When you're looking for a book boyfriend, Ryder Bergman is a great book boyfriend. Oh, he's so good. So it's enemies to lovers. He and Willa start out not liking each other, and then they have a relationship. It's very emotional too. And so the second one focuses on his older brother Ryder and a woman that he works with. So it's a good series to continue. And the third book is coming out, I think, later this year, and we'll focus on one of the sisters. So I really like her back catalog of Tough Love series. So what I like about Chloe Lise is that a lot of her books are emotional and then they're fun too, but every character is not just like one dimensional, right? So in Tough Love, it's about a woman who's in a wheelchair, but she also is this brilliant scientist. And she also is falling in love with this man who is part of the mafia, but he's trying to get out. And he's also a soccer player. So there's a little bit of romantic suspense as well. And so that series follows three books are about the first couple. And then there's a second book where it's a friends to lovers. And it's also surprising. I would say it's surprisingly emotional because you're not really expecting it. Maybe kind of in a rom-com or it's not really in the blurb, but it's so good. Like, it's not the type that you're like, oh my gosh, now it's going to be like weepy or whatever. But for me, it's a pleasant surprise. You're like, oh my gosh, like there's depth to this. And it's not that she's trying to check off a box to make it happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Talia Hibbert is also a person that is an auto buy for me. I love her Brown Sister series, specifically Take a Hint, Danny Brown. Mm-hmm. Danny and Zaf are one of my favorite couples, especially Zaf because he reads romance novels and he's so cute. And I'm working my way through her Ravenswood series, which is not as light and rom-commy, but it deals with, it has a little bit of content warning with like summer, like depictions of domestic violence. And so it's a little bit deeper subject matter, but it still has the romance element in it. And it takes place in a small town. And then Alicia Rye is my auto buy as well. I really like her new series that's going on, but her earlier works were really, really steamy, which I really love too. And so one of them is Serving Pleasure and then Wrong to Need You, which that series is full of angst. There's so much angst. It's forbidden. It's about these two rival families who, their kids are kind of pulled apart from each other and they're still trying to get together. And it's a little bit, definitely like a little bit darker subject matter, but they're also steamy as hell and I love it. So those are the three authors that no matter what they put out, I'm going to buy them and just get them immediately.
I love this. I just got Serving Pleasure. I just bought it this weekend, so I'm like so excited because I heard it's like so steamy, and it's like inksy and steamy and just really good.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. There's a second novel that that's part of that series that is part of her, it deals with the main character's sister. Mm-hmm. So from Serving Pleasure, the main character, her sister, is part of the second book. And I haven't read that one yet, but I need to put that on my list and get it. So, but yeah, Serving Pleasure is one of my favorites.
I love it. So how do you keep track when did I kiss? Do you keep a journal or do you highlight it? What's the process like?
Well, I am a mood reader. So I tend to kind of like, I read something and then I'm often reading multiple books at the same time. So when I'm trying to keep track of that, I use my phone a lot. So I just pull up a note and I'm writing what the tropes are and what chapter these two kiss finally, and then trying to keep track. And then as I'm, you know, going through the novel and kind of pulling out stuff that I want to highlight for my review, I'm just writing quick thoughts to myself. And because it's on my phone, it also syncs to my laptop. So I wish that I had more time to write it down in a novel or on paper or something, but I would lose that with everything else going on. So it's better for myself to be organized, to have it on my phone and then it syncs to my laptop, and then I can just copy and paste it, you know, into Instagram when I'm ready to post.
I love this. So what are some of your 5-star reads?
Well, Only When It's Us by Chloe Lise. I highly, highly, highly recommend that book. I love that book. Heated Rivalry by Rachel Reed. It's a male-male hockey romance about Shane and Ilya, and there is a sequel coming out next year, which I'm super excited about. I love Shane and Ilya as a couple. They're great. And then Kiss Quotient by Helen Huang, which Michael is also a great book boyfriend. He's so sweet, and I love his and Stella's relationship. And then The Kingmaker and The Rebel King, it's a duet by Kennedy Ryan. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit enemies to lovers forbidden, but also kind of instant love too. And it takes place over like a decade of their relationship. And it's a very, very alpha male, Maxim, and this political rising star that he falls in love with. And it's a really good book. It's also on Kindle Unlimited, I think. And I highly recommend that one too.
I love this. So you're a fan of rom-com, contemporary rom-coms. What are some of, how have been a book that you read this past year that you love?
You Deserve Each Other has been one of my favorites, and I've kind of been surprised about that because I don't know if you're like this too, but when there's a lot of hype around a book, I will read the Goodreads reviews and say, like, okay, like, does it live up to the hype? And I always look at kind of the 2 or 3 star reviews because I'm like, why didn't this person like this? You know, I kind of want to get a feel for what's going to happen. And it is lower on the Steam scale, so that's maybe like my one little, you know, I wish it was a steamier. People read this book or hated this book, and I really loved it because Naomi, the main character, is very, very unlikable at the beginning, and I think that's what turned a lot of people off, is that they didn't really think that she could be redeemed because she's mean. I mean, let's be honest, she's mean to her fiance. She's actively trying to get him to break up with her, but I really love that because she's very petty and she's being sneaky about it. And they're the one part that I laughed at the most at, which is not spoilery, but she's shaving off a millimeter of wood of one of his desk legs so that it'll wobble, so that it'll bother him. And she's giving away his business card because he's a dentist, and these giant bags of candy for Halloween. Like, she's just doing little things to kind of annoy him. And I really love, and this makes me sound terrible, but I really love when like the main character has to kind of suffer for a little bit. So I find it funny. And Nicholas really has to suffer. I mean, Naomi is putting him through it, and she's going through it too, but like, she's really actively like trying to get him to break up with her. And I just really loved her character so much. She reminded me a lot of Lucy in The Hating Game, and how she talks metaphors, the way she's describing stuff, the way she's thinking. She's very much in her head because she's shutting down emotionally from him. And so we get insight into that a lot. But I really loved her as a character. And then once, and other people agreed on Goodreads, like once it hits that turning point for them, it gets better. And for me, it once they start teaming up and they start actually communicating with each other, it's great. And I love them as a couple. And I feel like, you know, they're a team to, you don't want to mess with them, because like, however you think you're going to get them, they're going to get you back tenfold. And they just love that. I mean, that's how they show their affection for each other, by kind of putting each other through it.
I have to say, I absolutely adored this book. Like, I was scared because the hype was like, they hate each other, and people hated this book. Like, it's not a happy medium. It's like, I love it or hate it. It's a 5-star or a 1-star. Right. And I was like, so I listened to this book. I had this arc, like, really old. Like, I had it for a year as an arc. Like, I got it really early on. And I was like, I'm not sure if I'm going to read this. Like, I'm not sure how I feel about it. But the people that I knew that loved it, I trusted their reading taste. I was like, you have a similar reading taste. That's me. So I listened to it actually like a few weeks ago, and I would say the audio is excellent. And it was just like, I absolutely adore it. Like the whole hating each other. Like, it was like, it was just like, it filled the need of like, I hate you so much. I'm going to make your life interesting. And then the mother-in-law, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. She's so overbearing. And I, you know, what's funny to me is like, reading the blurb, it's a little misleading, because it makes you think that they have some sort of like bet with each other that whomever's gonna cancel the wedding has to pay for it. And that's not really the case. Yeah. It's his mother-in-law who like heavily insinuates to Naomi that like, if you back out of this wedding, like, I'm definitely sending you a bill. And she's already $3,000 invested in this. She had to buy a wedding dress that she doesn't really fit into because his mom is so overbearing, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the practical part of my brain is always like, well, just reading that blurb, I thought, why didn't she just leave? Like, just skip town and leave. And she thinks about that too, but she really, it's her pride that is the most affected. And she's like, no, I'm not going to cancel this because everybody will blame me. I'm going to get him to cancel it, not knowing that he's fully aware of what she's trying to do. And he has been actively working against her this entire time. And she is, you know, she's blindsided by that, which I love too, because, you know, she thinks she's got it figured out. And here he is, he's like, oh no, no, I've got it figured out. So I liked their, the push and pull of their relationship. And yeah, I mean, it's very divisive. You either love it or hate it, but I loved it. And I'm super excited about what her next book is going to be like too.
Me too. I'm excited. So you're a fan of Small Town Cowgirl Romance. What has been a book that you read this past year that you love?
Yeah. So I don't read a ton of cowboy books. They're just like really not like on my radar, but one of them I did read and I really love is The Charmer in Chaps by Julia London. Mm-hmm. It's set in Three Rivers, Texas, which I've been to. I used to live in Corpus Christi, and that's right in the Coastal Bend area in Texas. So I'm very familiar with the area, and it was fun to read a book that's set in a place that I've been to. And being a native Texan, you know, you just want to see how somebody's going to describe the state, because there's those stereotypes right there. We're all on horses and stuff like that. But, and this Luca, the main character, does ride a horse, but he's also an environmentalist as well. So he drives an electric car. And I was trying to think of how to describe this one. It's a little bit second chance adjacent, because Luca and Ella, it's a play on Cinderella, and Luca and Ella knew each other in high school, and she's always pined for him. And they're at this dance when they're in high school, and he kisses her that night and then kind of leaves, and nothing really happens. And she's always stayed there. She's always stayed in the town, and he has come back now. So he doesn't really remember her at the beginning. And it's so funny because she's actively trying to avoid him in this very small town, and she cannot get away from him. And he knows what she's doing, and he's popping up in his electric car that she cannot hear. And so she keeps surprising her. And she's like, electric car, you know, she's trying to get away from him. And he often rides a horse. And so they start an adult relationship together. And Ella is very guarded, and Luca is very open about why he's pursuing her. And Ella's just like, nope, I'm not gonna fall for you the entire time she's telling him this. And then she, of course, you know, their conflict happens, and she's the one that has to grovel to him. And I really like that because typically it's the man or the male lead who has to do some sort of groveling to win back the woman. But in this one, Ella has a lot of internal work that she has to do because she's so guarded and she has to be vulnerable with him. And I liked seeing that from a female lead who, you know, I kind of saw a little bit more, and the fact they're in a small town and you know, it's kind of this high school fantasy come to life for her. I really liked it, and it's funny and it's a quick read too, so that's one of my faves.
I love this. And what has been a book that you read this year that you cannot stop gushing about?
40 Love by Olivia Dade. She has another book coming out in October called Spoiler Alert, which I'm also very excited to eventually read. But 40 Love is an age gap romance, and it takes place on an island off the coast of Florida, and it's an older woman, younger man, and the main character, Tess, is on vacation, and she loses her bikini top while she's out on the beach in the ocean, and she asks this person standing nearby if he can shield her from exposing herself, and that's how they kind of meet, and it's this younger former tennis pro named Lucas. And so it turns out that he's also the island's tennis instructor, and her friend, Tess's friend, has signed her up for tennis lessons, so they meet again. And Tess is also very practical and guarded, and she's thinking, you know, nothing's going to happen with this guy because he's young, and I'm out of here in 2 weeks. And she's celebrating her 40th birthday, so it's a milestone for her. And Lucas is like, nope, I'm going to show you that we are right for each other, that I can, you know, I'm willing to leave all this behind for you. And the work that he has to do to convince her that he's all in, you know, even though Tess is very practical minded, and she's, you know, thinking of all those things I think we normally would, right? Of how's this going to work when we get outside of this vacation mindset? How's it going to work? There's such an age gap between us, and it's so cute and sweet and steamy. And that's one of my favorites from this year too.
I love this. Tell us where we can find you online.
Yes, so I'm on Instagram, When Do They Kiss, all one word. And then I'm also on Goodreads, goodreads.com/When Do They Kiss.
I love this. Thank you, Erica, for being on the show.
Yes, thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.